Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Your prayers are answered. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Please take your seats for a few minutes while we lay the foundations for today's exhortation. You're welcome in Jesus' name. And for those who are online, you're also welcome. And I will try to read from this book, and you will try to follow me. So it's good to read the Bible, and it's good to read the Bible in the spirit. Some people engage the word of God in the flesh, so they don't get anything out of it. The strength of a message is not in its simplicity, but the allocation of grace that follows it. So let's read from Acts chapter 20. I will just read a few verses, or maybe I should read the whole chapter. It's about 38. Some of you are not used to reading 38 verses. So I'll start from verse 18. Maybe I'll stop. Maybe I'll stop somewhere, 27 verse. Are you blessed this morning? The pathway of the Spirit can only be revealed by God Himself. Which means no matter how well-intentioned you are, if you do not understand the transport system of heaven, if you do not understand how God moves us from dimension to dimension by His Spirit, you may not understand why some of us have a song and why some of us have a dance and why some of us are screaming. Because everything that God told us to do, they are transport systems. So who would have believed that when the Lord asked the children of Israel to shout on the seventh day after going round the round Jericho for 7 days, who would have believed that there was enough power in their shout to bring a city down? But God gave you that to paint a picture to you what your shout is capable of doing. Come on, are you with me now? I say what your shout is capable of doing. When God gives you a very weird instruction and tells you to wake up around 1 a.m. and start laughing. Even to the pastor of the church, it sounds crazy. But for some reason, God is in weird things. For some reason, everything about God cannot be explained by science. I know you want God to be a Democrat, but everything about God cannot be explained in science. How many of us believe God is a God of love? Do you believe that? You people don't believe. Do you believe God is a God of mercy? Okay, it's like you like that messy part because you're always committing sin. Okay, but do you believe God is a God of love? Now, do you believe God is a God of justice? What is the implication of that? That He will punish sin and unrighteousness regardless of what people say. Even if the whole world gathers and says, you are right and she's wrong. As far as God is concerned, He will come at the right time and append the necessary punishment. Bring it down. Are you with me now? So God is a God of justice. But how many of you know that God is not a gentleman? It's not stadial. It's not in His nature. It's not the way the white man defines gentleness. Is not His own definition of gentleness. How many of you know God doesn't talk too much? It's not for want of anything to say, but he speaks in kairos. He speaks in kairoses. God speaks from a position of set time. That's what Jose was talking about this morning. When he talks, he's not speaking from the position of your challenge. He's speaking from the position of the answer. Go and check everybody God spoke to. God never spoke to them from a position of a challenge. Even in the challenge, God was saying, there's a way. Jesus saw the woman that was condemned for adultery, fornication, prostitution. What was she condemned for? Is it adultery? Fornication, whatever. Sexual sin. Maybe the other guy was married. So, and it's amazing that we have not really been fair to the ladies or to the women folk. Whatever sin you commit, they bear the brunt. Hello? I say, whatever sin, if you go out and commit a sin, it is the first person that will feel the brunt is your wife. Don't ask me to explain. That's not the title of today's message. I'm just telling you that also, like in the case of that woman, the man was not found. There was a man they met before they met the woman, but they, for some reason, they were able to hold that woman. What she did, was it sin? Did she commit sin? Was her sin worthy of death? Please, are you with me? Why did God not judge her? He said, our God is a God of the second chance. But if you don't understand the way of God, you will think he apportions mercy carelessly. He doesn't. It's dangerous for you to assume that because you live in a house with somebody that fornicates, and he gets away with it, that you can try it. Yours may just be once. And that's it. You become of blessed memory. I'm not joking. I will have mercy on whom I will have. And this is not my mercy, but I don't know who needs to hear it. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion. So there seems to be a prerogative. There's a subject of, there's a God fact. They say, how I feel. How I feel. God just looks at you. How I feel. But I'm going to do something about this guy. Because he always interferes. Let me just go offline. Please. Who even names anything Siri? Who even does that? Can't look for Mabel or something. Say Siri. You would think that every time the Lord would say, have mercy, it is always because of his prerogative. Not in every case. Do you know that what Joseph experienced in the prison when he was brought out was mercy? Because he was not a citizen. He had no right. As far as even his own dad was concerned, he was already dead. The father was not alive. The father was a man of God, but he didn't even see it in his visions that the son was alive. Do you know that even as a prophet or as a man of God or as a woman of God, certain things may be kept from you. And you will be praying. Others will be getting their answers, their miracles. But you will pray and God will, as though he's not aware you are saying it. So the day the Lord brought Joseph out, it was an act of mercy. But was it completely up to God? I don't think so. The book of Proverbs tells us that the scale of the weight of God is a balanced scale. That's what Proverbs tells us. God uses a balanced scale, which means there is nothing the Lord does that has no reason, either in the past or in the future. Now, when the Lord said, Esau, I have what? And Jacob have what? They were not born then. They have not done anything. But God already made up his mind. Did God do it? Did God just make up his mind? Because he was looking for someone to eat. When the Lord rejected Cain because of his offering, and he accepted Abel, did he do it because he loved the flow of Abel's name? Hey, hi, what's your name? Say, I'm Abel. I'm Abel. It's a name you can take home to mama. Say, Abel. Nice, cute. All Abels that I know, they are very nice and cute. No wala. I only know two Cains in my life. One is in the Bible. The other is in America with tattoos all over. Very strong body. And he prophesies. So don't ask me about tattoos. I'm not here for that one today. But I'm just telling you, I know one king. But he added, I think, E to his own king. So just to separate himself from that other brother. When this woman was brought to Jesus, they came with the intention to find fault with Jesus. The issue of that woman was not really about her. The Pharisees could care less. Because many of them also have appointments with the woman. How do you know where the woman lives? Reverend Doctor, how did you know the time? You see, when the Lord responds on time, people think God is partial. You don't understand. The way God thinks, his ways are... The Lord will look at this one and say, this one, if I spare her, just by the decision she will make in the next 20 years, she would have brought me more value in the body of Christ than this other person. But currently, she's living a riotous life. So she will keep sinning and she will keep escaping. People will think God is sparing her. No. God has seen the future. That left to their decisions alone, this one will turn out right. No God input, no Satan. Just wake up every morning, choose to go left or right. This one would have chosen right. And this one, even though he seems to be in Christ, we turn back like Demas. Can you imagine someone like Demas going about Apostle Paul for crusades? Demas would take the first charge, then Apostle Paul will come and do the healing and the deliverance. And then we have a mighty, you know, crusade. Demas. Demas does not mean devil. Demas is a good name. The guy was in the ministry. He was an apostle in training. How many of you here can boast to be apostle? Can you boast that you are an apostle? Some of us will feel so blessed if we had to spend just 1 year with Apostle Paul and learn from him. But he said, Demas has forsaken me. He didn't say Demas forsook the gospel. He said, Demas forsook me. Why did Demas forsake Paul? He said, having loved this present... So now we need to extray that statement, this present word. Because some of you thought what it meant was money. Are we together? You thought it was a better life. You know, life. Like what will make a man turn back? Usually it's money. A woman cannot make a man leave Jesus. Some of you don't know. You think you're very special. A woman can't make a man leave Jesus. It's money. There's something about money that makes a man feel less of himself. You just like... You just feel like your masculinity has been destroyed. Because in just one day, toothpaste finished, toilet soap finished. It's not the big things that are getting exhausted. It's the small things for which you cannot make provision for. Huh? When they say, how much toothpaste? You say, I say it's 250. You don't have. You know, there are people are like, you don't have. You know, there's a way they look at you. You don't have. What do you mean by you don't have? 250. Brothers here, have you ever had to look in your drawers for adventure? You just see one money lying around. Please talk to me, brother. Like, you know, now these are the men you are aspiring to be like. You just like, have you ever been in a season of plenty where you saw 100 naira somewhere in the house and you ignored it? Then in the day of trial, you're like, but there was 100 naira. I used to see it around here. Like, wow. That thing should be, there's no thief in this house. There's no thief in this house. Okay, let me make it complicated now. Have you ever been on the road or somewhere at home and you just dressed up and you put your hand in your pocket and you found money? And it was like maybe 2,000 naira squeezed together. Oh my, today's a blessed day. Now, you earn 500,000 per month, but there's something about that 2,000 that feels so good. You're like, wow, hallelujah. Now, you straighten the money immediately and you don't say anything about it. Because nobody's telling me toothpaste has finished. This one is for me to go and enjoy. This is the Lord's doing. And it is what? It is marvelous. So, the issue of Demas is another matter. But let's look at that woman. They came to Jesus using her as bait. We have read that story for years. We never thought that Jesus was the target. They wanted to see what he would do. How many of you have been presented with situations and you got in the line of fire only to realize you are not even the target? They wanted to see what he would do. When your boss calls you at the office and says, hey, what do you think about this? Believe me when I tell you, he already knows what he wants to do. It's not like he likes you. He just wants to see if your thoughts align with his own. And when he does realize, she's hopeless. That's what he says in his mind. But you are not aware. You think that's why he disgusts you the moment he sees that you are not aligning. That's what I said to my boss one day. So what do you think about this? I said, just tell me what you want. I just told him. He said, what do you mean? I said, Oga, tell me what you want. Let me do it. Let's not have this meeting. Eh? You know, and I know that it is what you want we are going to do. Just give me the order and let me match. He said, no, that's not a nice thing to say. I said, but it's true now. Oga, you know now. It's not quarrel. It's just, when a white man asks you, are you okay? It's not an insult. It's having a proper conversation. Here, somebody asks, are you okay? That woman was brought to Jesus and they put her in front of him. The way they must have brought her, Jesus would have known where she was coming from. The Pharisees didn't talk about how they knew she was there. They didn't talk about the other guy. They were not really interested in her restoration. They wanted something that would validate the law that Jesus came to end. Jesus was sent to fulfill the law. So they wanted something that you behave like a righteous man. Oh yeah, say something. This one is clear iniquity. That's why you will notice many times when the Pharisees came against him, he will not talk. He will just be looking. He will be using parable to answer them. So for you to respond, you will now have to go and solve the parable. By the time you are done, he has moved to another location. So they don't like him. So they went to look for a clear case. Hey, master, this is Yvonne. We found her.
in the act, very act, what say you? They wanted Jesus. If Jesus, you see, in spiritual warfare, you must understand the rule of patience and waiting upon the Lord. There's a woman here, half dressed. The disciples of Jesus were here. Everybody's waiting for his verdict. The moment they started talking, the first thing Jesus did was to take his focus off them. If you keep staring at that thing, you'll make a mistake. To maintain your accuracy, you must shift your focus and your strategy. Jesus decided to start writing on the ground. Whatever it is he wrote, we were not told. But he started writing. Do you know that many times when your mind becomes overwhelmed, it is always good to find an escape valve in an activity? Don't respond. Because Satan knows if you move the moment you sense that danger, you will cross into the express. So you need to step down, because the scripture says, those that believe will not make haste. So Satan's strategy to push you down is to make you go out in haste. The moment you respond in haste, your capacity to hear God will drop. Please, are you with me now? This hustling spirit of Lagos is not a kingdom thing. And you must pray for God to deliver you from it. Being a hustler has nothing to do with Christianity. Because those who believe shall not what? Make haste. Jesus sat there, started scribbling upon the floor, and didn't lift his hand until he knew what his father would have him do. So while he was writing, he was buying time. Please, are you with me? Jesus was what? He was buying time. Because our Lord taught us, I think it's in probably in John chapter 1, he said, as I hear, I judge. I don't do anything of myself. These people have come again. And this time around, this is a clear case of iniquity. They want him to say yes or no. Now, if Jesus had said yes, what do you think they would have done? Yes. They will require the woman to be stoned to death. And then when she's stoned to death, they will come back and say, on the authority of the master, who also, they will publish it. The bloggers will take it. That this is also the position of Jesus. Now, they will make that decision look more like his decision than the fact that they brought the girl. So that the next day, Jesus steps into the house of Zacchaeus. They will be at the door waiting. Zacchaeus and this woman, they are not different. There's no salvation for Zacchaeus. He's a cheat. Then Jesus will have to turn back. You see why I told you that the issue of that mercy, it was not a casual decision. God saw their heart. It was beyond that woman. The day Jesus was presented with a man that was born blind, they asked, Master, who sinned? They would have come again. Man of God, you know we love your ministry. This woman, this boy, it was his father's sin. Sir, how do you know? How come you know so much about the generational sin without a generational solution? How come? Why are you so excellent in diagnosing the problem without knowing what the solution is? They came, they would have said, no. This is not the kind of person that should be healed. Oh, the one that is even most painful was that man that had a withered hand on the Sabbath day. You know what a withered hand is? The hand is like this. The hand is short and stiff. And when Jesus would have healed him, they would have said, sir, you'll be taking the Bible with you. High priest said you'll be taking the Bible with you. Say, okay. You can't heal him. Why? It is the Sabbath day. You know, that day that you recommended that woman to be stoned, you were obeying that particular section in the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses does not permit you to do good on Sabbath day. Good is defined as God. Anything that is not God, you must take your hand. It doesn't matter if it is healing. Let him die on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day is for God. Hallelujah. The moment he falls into that trap, they will be there at every bus stop, disqualifying you, disqualifying you, disqualifying you, making him incompetent to be your merciful high priest. Jesus said to them, "He who hath no sin, let him what? Cast the first stone." Have you realized or observed that iniquity is not far from a spirit of accusation? That those with greater propensity to be judgmental have greater sins, but they cover it up well. Jesus said to that woman, "Who has condemned you?" And you see, because a lot of believers struggle with this notion of, "Has God forgiven me?" And it can be a very big problem. Some of you are born again in your mother's womb, so you may not have this problem. But for some of us, that you just wake up that morning, you are just... So what if all of this is a lie? Have you ever heard people preach and they said, "Even if there's no hell, I will serve him, I will praise him"? Have you heard those kind of messages before? They are liars. You, if there's no hell, you serve God. You that you are a polygamist. your generational, your lineage. They are polygamous spirit. It's an ancient spirit. It's not learning work. It has PhD. Say there's no hair, I'll still serve him. I'll pray. You're a liar. Sir, please. You are fake. You are lying. Sir, I just love his presence. The man that they tested, Job, just to see whether a man can love God without any reason, he suffered. Eh? The devil killed everybody except the accuser, his wife. While others were praying for long life, that woman did not need it. Why people organizing prayer meeting? God, heal brother Job. She didn't need it. Everybody caught the spirit of death except her. So imagine that woman in the house telling Job, "Repent. There's sin in your life." Satan kept her with such strength and vitality so that she can always say, "Young man, there's something you are hiding." Ah. Say, look. I may be a woman, but I know God. I know why I believe. Confess. Do you know that when you study the book of Job, at some point, Job started thinking, like, "Wait, is this, maybe I committed a sin in my dream and I didn't know. I fornicated in my dream." Because now you have to start checking everything. Spiritual husband, spiritual wife, that girl I collected her number. You start thinking, which door did I open that Satan is using to afflict me? And the day God came, God still rebuked him. Do you know what it means to be in pain? Simply because God had a conversation with Satan. Not that you did anything wrong. Two people were just talking. And the impact of that conversation was that you lost your children, lost your business, lost your life. And you had a woman perpetually in your space to remind you that you are in sin. Or a man, depending on the case. And when God came to restore him, he did not even permit Job to divorce. Ah! It was still the same woman. Oh. Hey, there must be a spirit of grace at work to be able to forgive me. Ah. Yeah, say, you will know that I'm from Idoma. You will know. I will tell you. See, Idoma people, eh? I will tell you. You will know today. The subject of the mercy that that woman received was not even about the woman. It was also that God saw into the future. And he saw his own graveyard, his own tomb. On the day of his resurrection, only one woman was standing there. Peter was not there. Peter, that had cast out devils and was preaching, I know whom I believe. Hallelujah. I know. We ate with him. Hallelujah. We were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Praise God. Repent and be saved. You, cripple, stand up. You, like, open. Pa. Hey, miracle. Pastor, there's a miracle here. When Jesus... It was a woman that handled Peter's case. A woman, no, no weapon, no nothing. Say, so you look like, ah. You see, in life, two people, they resemble. Sometimes, even three. Two people, they resemble. Ah, it's not, I'm not the one. No. And Jesus was at the other end. One of the gospels said that at some point, it started raining curses. Now, somebody has been with you for so long. Jesus didn't know that Peter still had curses. You can be close to God, but you may be shielding. Oh, you may be hiding certain things from him. Oh. Peter was the one who prophesied, he commandole basiandele kodia, for thou art the Christ in the name of God. And some people, they oppress you when they prophesy. See, this way the Spirit always moves her. Holy Messiah, even after the prophecy is over, she's still vibrating like, oh, there's more to come. Holy Messiah, now I want to cry, hallelujah.
You are Satan. Jesus called him Satan. You are Satan.
Shitani. This is the chief apostle. If Peter were to be alive today, many of us cannot ordain him. Because his level of consistent of confusion and inconsistency is so high. I don't even know the supplements to recommend to bring that thing down. If it can come down. Meanwhile, Jesus was saying, this is the best man for the job. A man that was raining curses. Yes, he still curses like he's at Mushi. He causes, he rain. I'm like, you have been with me. Where why are you the cause? Where you get this thing? Say, Baba, I don't know. It didn't just come out like that. Say, it changed. I won't carry people, give you, make you pass. Now, say, you go, they cause them. Say, Petero, Peter, Petero. You, hey, now, this last minute, we now discover Peter knows how to curse. And he's our man, the man that we recommended. Who's your replacement? Say Peter. Any other person? Say Peter. Give us one other name. Peter. Peter was here, a woman. He said, if I know him. If I know him. And when he finished cursing him, Jesus' eyes and his own, they met. When Jesus said, you will deny me, what was Peter thinking? He never thought it would come from a woman. He didn't see it. Peter never thought it would be a woman. He thought it would be maybe some of these soldiers that would just come. He was looking at the wrong set of people. It was a woman standing at his door. He didn't know his strength could fail him until a woman spoke to him. That's why I tell brothers, when you are coming from the mountain after 21 days, the best person to talk to is not a woman. You are not that strong. Come on, say amen. I know some of you are proud of your spiritual life, but take it from me. When you are coming from 21 days fasting and prayer, it's not the best time to say, oh, come and see me. Okay, that problem, let's pray. No, no, no. Now you need to go home, sleep, eat, and be a man again, before a man of God, because you are vulnerable. Jesus saw into the future. I want you to understand why God continues to allocate you mercy. It's because of tomorrow. He has seen something. He has seen that you turned out all right. Oh, hallelujah. God saw that you turned out all right. God saw that you turned out all right. God saw that you became a door for the gospel. God saw it, but nobody is seeing it now. You are not even seeing it now. What you are seeing are the challenges and the problems that are besetting you. When God chooses to allocate mercy, it's because he is the target. And if he does not respond in mercy, it will not be God. The question of who God will have mercy on is a gun with a target on God's back. If God chooses to abandon you at this point, it will not be God. That's why he cannot leave you. Moses said, if you destroy them, they will say the people you brought out from Egypt, you could not keep them. A man convinced God. The Lord gave us a parable. He said, this tree has been barren for years. Bring it down. And the pastor came. Sir, let's give it one more year. You can convince God. He said, come forth with your strong reasons. The problem is not that you are not talking. Your reasons are weak. Your reasons are weak. Why should I bless you? Because as I'm talking about it, all I see is Dubai. I see jets. I see so many things. I see in nice, nice places. But I'm not seeing God. Say, if we give this man money, he will not be coming to church again. Say, then now he will start questioning what the pastor is preaching. Now he's not doing that. Nobody knows he's capable of that. But when he begins to talk in millions of dollars, then you are in the plane and you say, how are you? It's been a while. I said, I say, yeah. How is that pastor? That pastor. God looks into your heart. He sees what Satan intends. If Jesus had said one word there, that woman would be killed. If Jesus had said, according to the law of Moses, this is what is. They will not wait for him to finish. They will take the woman and rub it on Jesus. Restraint is a weapon. The ability to refrain and restrain yourself can be a very powerful weapon in warfare. That silence is good, you know. Use it. Oh, you are bad, you are good. It doesn't matter. Time will reveal. I said, time will reveal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Jesus said to that woman, who has condemned you? Please get me that scripture if you can. John chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted himself, and he saw, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse? The word accuser is the word devil.
Where are your accusers? Give me the scripture. And the woman said, where are your accusers? At no man condemned. You look at the word condemned. The word condemned suggests that we have gone to court. A ruling has been given. And you are guilty. So, this woman, whether you realize it or not, there was a case over her head in the realm of the spirit. That case is what we compel her to keep going back to this lifestyle. If Jesus did not step in. I'm yet to know any woman who chooses this lifestyle out of pleasure. All right? So, before you think you are better than them, you have to think twice. This is not to justify what they do. But at least, they have made a decision. You have not. You claim to follow Jesus, but you didn't choose to follow him with all your heart. This one chose this life, and she chose it. Give me that scripture. Next verse. This woman, Jesus made reference to accusers and condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? So if you step outside of Christ and begin to look at your own righteousness and think that the only reason why things are working for you is because you know how to fast. That's what it means to look at your own righteousness. You know how to pray. You know how to study the word. You know how to be fervent and every other person. Nobody has prayer life except you. You are the only one. When you start praying, we only know the beginning. We don't know the end. Nobody likes praying with you because you are a prayer warrior. Say 5 more minutes. That 5 more minutes is 1 hour. Let's just take one more prayer point. 1 hour. So when you tell people, come, let's just have fellowship together. They have to eat well because they are not sure when they will leave that place. Because when Brapa said, let us pray. Father, we thank you. Even if somebody calls you that there's business, he will not allow you to go. Because you have not broken into the third dream. You need to pray and break into the third dream. Jesus spoke about those who condemned her. Give me that scripture. What was her response? She said, no man. Excuse me. Did those men condemn her? They condemned her by their actions. They brought her there, and please don't tell me they... Come, Yvonne. This is my preaching partner. When they went to pick up the woman, did they just say, Yvonne, okay, you are the one here, Abby. Okay, so come with us, You are under arrest. So how are you? How's your mother? I think that last week, we didn't see you at the house fellowship, Abby. Okay. So what's good? How's your business? Let's go and see Jesus. Was that what they did? They must have dragged her. There's a way men drag you. You will know that except God intervenes, you are done for. They dragged her. Their intention was to shame her. Only to meet the man who took our shame. Their plan was to ridicule her. But it was also bruised for our sins. You came on the wrong day. Jesus was at the right spot on the right day. Sitting down, waiting for one soul. If they had asked Jesus 30 minutes ago, sir, let's go. He said, I'm waiting. Oh, I'm waiting. She will fall into the sin, but I need to be here to redeem her. I need to be here to redeem her. I need to be here to help her. Peter, slow down. And Jesus will be there waiting. Somebody is coming. Who is the person? I don't know, but I perceive somebody is coming. The moment they brought her, say, yes, our customer is here. They brought her, dragged her to ridicule her and shame her and probably kill her. But Jesus looked into the future. This woman will be an encourager of men. When the hearts of men like Peter will fail them, this woman will be there. This was the woman of whom it was said, of whom much is forgiven, such people love more. Peter!
admitted he was a sinner once when Jesus did a miracle. This woman knew she was a sinner. And the moment she met Jesus, only once, so never looked back. Many of those who say they are close to God are far away from him. Yes. So let it sink. Many of those you think you are more spiritual than, they are closer to God. Eh? You are close to the pulpit. Those ones are close to God. Don't look down anybody. She may be a sinner in your eyes, but have you checked with God? Sir, how about her? Have you also noticed that when people try to inquire about other people, God asks them, what's your business? Come on, are you here now? Peter asked Jesus about John. Say, what about him? You want to inquire about something that will destroy you. Do you know John outlived Peter? How will you feel when trying to be prophetic? Then I told you that the person you are looking for prophecy for will live longer than you. What were you expecting to find in that prophecy? No, seriously, just think about it. Is it not better to mind your business? This desire for prophecy has exposed many people. I can say because that's my field. You cannot say it if it's not your field because they'll think it's bad belly. For me, I can say it. Eh? It's just like in the US. If I say nigger, it's not an insult, it's greeting. But if you, a white man, says nigger, then whatever you see. That woman met with Jesus, and Jesus said to her, who has accused you? The woman said, no one. But when we looked at that story, she was actually accused. So what changed? What changed? Jesus. She saw the body language of Jesus. She saw that I am not really supposed to be looking at these guys. I'm supposed to be looking at Jesus. And when she saw that the body language of Jesus was that of restoration, she deleted those people in her consciousness and focused on the one who could save her. So when Jesus said, who has condemned you? No man. I just find that I'm here in need of a savior. Let me give you something. Go. Aya. Ah. It was not just a proclamation. It was the power to live above sin. Some of us, we need to hear that. That is the power that has conquering ability over death. Jesus said, look at me, say, go. You say no man has condemned you. Your Savior doesn't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And he took her hand. He found himself a disciple. On the day Jesus was to resurrect, that woman was there, like an intercessor, waiting for the fulfillment of a prophecy. She was there waiting. Peter, pew, John, pew, Philip, pew, all the big apostles and prophets, pew. But there was a church member, Mary. She was there weeping. Huh? In the New Testament and in the scriptures, in prophetic parlance, weeping is a posture for intercession. Come on, are you with me now? Weeping is a posture for intercession. When you pray and when you weep before the Lord, it's as though you are interceding. So when she stood before the grave, what was she saying? Lord, let your word come to pass. Let your word not fail. Lord, I have nowhere to go. This is my Savior. This is my Jesus. I don't know about others, but I have no other place to go. That was what her posture represented. Is it possible for you to leave the church today and let your relationship with God become a very personal one? There is a place for that corporate relationship that we have as believers. But can you come to that place where you are standing toe to toe in your destiny in a particular spot simply because of your decision to follow Jesus? Can I ask you a question? Where you are standing right now in your life, is it because of Jesus or because of yourself? for you to know that even though Peter was following God, he was not following God stupidly. Huh? You know, Peter used to be a businessman. I cannot leave my banking job. I will not come and say I'm a pastor, and I will not be an international pastor. Those villages, they have small pastors who are not educated. Let them go there. Yeah. So even for those of us who work in international banks, our perspective is global. We are global. We are taking the world. No man can take the world. Only Jesus can take the world. You will only do your part. You will only do your part. And when your time is up, nobody can keep you here. You will watch another man become general overseer. Three general overseers to come. The fifth general overseer of Harvest Assembly may never meet me in his life. You know that reality. Okay. So God, what we are saying is that if I build 5,000 capacity now, then I grow old. The only thing that senior pastor will know is my picture. Say yes. This one is not good though. After all my labor. That's the way I've made it. Deal with it. Just deal with it. If you want to last in this enterprise, deal with it. That your reward will not be on the basis of fame and popularity. Many people who are popular, many false prophets on YouTube who are doing prophetic meetings and gathering 11,000 people online, they are false prophets. They use third eye. They do all kinds of things. And Peter followed Jesus. And when Jesus rose again, he asked Jesus, is it time to restore the kingdom? Peter still had a very funny perspective to the journey. Meanwhile, there was a woman that was not allowed to preach in church all the years because she was an ex-alot. But she had stamina to stay. Knowing that peradventure, the soldiers may come and pick her up. But she stayed. She stayed. Peter, our first pope, was asking Jesus. You see, sometimes it's good not to assume. The only way to avoid assumption is to ask questions. Ask the person, what is the X, the Y? And listen to them. Don't interject them. People that are crying in church when they are praying, don't assume it's God. Ask them questions. Why are you crying? I have cried in church here, but I was crying for my... It was not because of presence of God. I cried because I had my own personal issues and I was overwhelmed. But I was on the altar. People say, Pastor was soon start professor. Like, seriously, like... So you see me here, sometimes you say, Pastor, is everything okay? Because sometimes it may not be because of God's presence. I might have come to church that day with a big burden, but I'm not permitted to tell you. Because that's not why we are here. So I'll just stand here and be singing a song. That woman was able to look beyond the accusation. It didn't matter. Jesus is here. It didn't matter. Jesus is here. The problem would have been if you were stuck with the Pharisees and Jesus was not there. They accused you. Jesus didn't walk away. There's hope for you. They accused you and you know you are guilty. And Jesus sat there was smiling. My sister, there's hope for you. My brother, there's hope for you. If Jesus were to turn his back, even if Peter was to stay, you are done for. See this God? When you come to him, you enter into an avalanche of mercy. If you really know whom you have believed, when you come to him, you will hold him tight. Because you know, regardless of what man sees, Jesus has the final say. Oh, hallelujah. I say Jesus has the final say. You hold him tight. When you worship him with oil because you know, regardless of what man will do or say, Baba has the final say. That woman was condemned. Jesus pursued all the Sadducees and Pharisees, and he was left with a woman. When Jesus died, that was the only woman standing by his tomb. And Jesus said to her, when he came out, he said, Mary. There's a way God talks to you. You will know he's the one. Give me that scripture. Let me look for that scripture. When Jesus rose at the tomb and spoke to Mary, he said, Mary. She didn't almost know he was the one. Ah, your level will change, though. When your level changes, people will recognize you again. Some of you are not even aware that I have hope. When I get to where I'm going to, you say, is this Pastor going? I say, is he one? I know you did not believe then that I will get here, but I'm here. Yes. Don't worry. So you are forgiven. Do you have the scripture? John chapter 20 and verse 14. Jesus called out to this woman. Look at verse 13. And they said, give me verse 12. Verse 11. Go back to 11. Let's do this quickly. And Mary stood outside at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down. Now, you look at that language, stoop down. What does it remind you of? Do you remember when Kenny was talking about, I think Kenny, this morning, when Elijah stooped and buried his head to pray for rain to come down? Do you know that story? After destroying the 400 prophets of Baal, he now went to the mountain to pray that God should send rain. And the Bible says, he told Ahab, go ahead, rain is coming. Then he put his head here. I told you that what this woman did was a posture of intercession. God raised when, oh my God. You see, you must know the women that are in your life. Go and check any man that is anointed. There are certain women in their lives. I'm telling you, this one, don't ask me for Bible verse. That's it. Some of you, when Jesus was going to be born, before they conceived, there was a woman standing to bring confirmation to the prophets. Her name was Elizabeth. Forget about Mary, that was the carrier. When Jesus was born and they took him to the temple, there was a prophetess, Anna, waiting there. Throughout his ministry, there were women who supported him. Most of them were saying, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. Glory, that's so profound, man of God. They will not give one error. It's the women that will say, Pastor, have you eaten? Pastor, you are tired, you need to go. The men do not mind. Let's be here and die. That woman stood there. All I think she could have remembered was someone who spoke for her when nobody was standing with her. She will, if today is the day I die, it would have been a good day to die because I died beside the person who stood with me. Give me that scripture. Next verse. She looked into the sepulchre. She was thinking she would see a dead man there. And she saw two angels in white sitting. One at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laid. Next verse. And they said to her, why weepest thou? The angels were in the tomb. They knew she was weeping. They didn't say anything. When you think you are going through a tough time and you think God is not aware, you are making a big mistake. The angels were in the next room. They didn't say anything because it was not time. The moment she, like Moses, I will step aside to see why this bush is burning. The moment she took a step of faith, God spoke. When you stay in that situation and you think God has left you, my sister, turn aside. Take a step of faith. Don't wait to say God said. Take a step of faith. You will get a voice. She said, I am weeping because they have taken away my Lord. How many times did you see Peter call Jesus Lord? I told you, many people at the altar, they are far from God. Don't be deceived by a cassock and I even want to buy one now. Don't be deceived by all those things. You understand? They are good, but it's not the standard. Are you close to God? You know in your heart. You know. She said, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Meaning, if I know where they have kept him, I'm going there. Where was Peter? Hiding. God told me, I'm going to be the next man of God. I need to be alive. I need to be alive to do this ministry. And brethren, let's pray. Which prayer? Go and die. Your master, where they kept him, go there and stand there. Maybe you believe. Go there. It was the head usher that went. Pastor, say his number is not ringing. WhatsApp, not going. Give me that scripture. And when she, who was she talking to initially in verse 13? She was talking to the angels. Did she know Jesus was there? And when she had thus said, the moment she said, I do not know where they have kept him, Jesus appeared. There is something about a strong yearning for God. That when you have no other thing except this pursuit, God shows up. Many of us say we are fasting, we are praying. But our desire is not yet pure enough. It's not filtered enough to accommodate only God. We are still serving God because of the future, the promise of the future. We are serving God because of this. We are serving God because of that. Even though we say we are serving God and it's good, but there's still something somewhere that we are hoping we are going to get. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? All of you in the WhatsApp group, do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus appeared. She saw Jesus standing there and she did not know that it was Jesus. You are searching for me. I'm here. And yet you do not know that I'm here. How is it possible? If Jesus came to you wearing Loretta's body, would you know? Or would you say it is Loretta? Just because somebody is your enemy at the office does not mean that God cannot use that person to bless you. Choose your enemies wisely. Jesus said to her, woman, you see this woman thing, it didn't start from Africa. Things fall apart. Was it things fall apart? All those traditions, I say, woman, where's my food? This is where I started from. But this one was with a tone of love and care. You know, your own grandfather is a wicked man. But this one is... say, why weepest thou? Excuse me. Are you sincerely telling me Jesus didn't know why she was crying? Jesus just heard her. She just said it. She just said it. Listen, God wants to hear you. He's not tired. Yeah. I prayed yesterday. I don't know what's happening. I'm angry. I won't talk today. Like Abraham said, God, Brother Matas, see, 10 years ago, I was praying. God came down. I saw angel like this. God told me I will have a child. Because of that, I didn't marry a second wife. Even the one that I made mistake, but I still maintain. Oh boy, I never see this kind of thing before. Say God go come down like this, and you no go see anything. 10 years, my brother, no child. Oh, are you sure? Say now, God. You say, say, ah, no be dream. I open eye like this. I see a tree. I see angel the other day. God save nice. Ah, you deep or your prophetic level. Ah, tell me, say I know they see visual like this, but God they answer my prayer. I say, ah, me I they see him, but no answer. No answer. When you see the kind of prophetic experience of power, you won't know how to advise them. This one is seeing cherubims, archangels. How do you want to advise that kind of person? You want to advise him that he should have faith. You, have you seen angel before? Have you seen the feather of an angel? You want to advise me? You want to advise me? Me that the Spirit of God took in the chariot and we went to visit different countries. You want to advise me? Sir, please, I beg you. God is not tired of listening. I know what he said. Eh? He told you you have a child. Eh? Still talk about it today. Jesus heard what the woman said when she was outside. He heard what the woman said to the angels. And Jesus was still asking her, why are you weeping? This is your golden opportunity to get what you want now. If you say, hey, but I prayed about it yesterday. A little serious, isn't it? Why weepest thou? And whom are you seeking? She thought he was the gardener. Hey, Chineke. She thought Jesus was the gardener. She honestly thought Jesus was the man. Keep taking care of. Hey, may your eyes be open. So that you will not refer to your helper as gardener. Somebody went to one office, saw one guy, just wearing shirt and trousers. He was thinking, oh, this man is one of their low staff, junior staff. He didn't know he was the driver of the MD. And you are looking for a job. That man doesn't need a pass to go and see the MD in there. He's the driver. The guy just took the CV. Say, oh, God, my sister. Don't you know the girl from anywhere? My sister. Ah, you didn't tell me. He said, ah. Baba, I beg. Let her go and see HR. No interview. Keep, if you like, get MSc and PhD in looking down on people. She said, sir, if you have born him, she thought he was the one who took away the body. If you have born him else, tell me where you have led him. I want to take him away. I don't want to be separated from Jesus. Jesus said to her, Mary. There was a way Jesus pronounced that name. It was not about the person standing. That voice became familiar. There's a way God talks to you. There's a way he reveals himself to you. It may not be as deep as Archangel and Cherubim, but there's a way he talks to you. Something resonated. This is the voice of the man who forgave me. Do you know what Rabboni means? Teacher. Master. Teacher. Ah! Comforter. Make my life comfortable. Teacher, teach me all I need to know. Oh, my high guide, guide me onto the end. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Guide me onto the hand. You are the Spirit of God.
I see touching my life, Holy Ghost.
Jesus said to her, his name, her name, said Mary, and she turned, teacher, master. Next verse. Mary Magdalene. You see, they told us which of the Marys. The one that was forgiving much. She came and told the disciples that she has seen the Lord and that she has spoken these things to her. Now, another gospel tells us the conversation that happened here. Jesus said to her, the moment she saw Jesus, she came close and wanted to hold him and touch him. And Jesus said, do not touch me. Are we together? He said, for I have not yet what? Ascended to my Father. He was just coming out of the grave with the emblems and the full payment of our sin, our redemption. And when the high priest is going into the holiest of all, no one must touch him. No one. So he was simply fulfilling the order of things, moving from the holy place, from the outer court where he was crucified, into the holiest of all. Nobody must touch him, no matter how emotional you are. So between that point where he saw that woman and when he came back and allowed Thomas to touch him, Jesus had gone to heaven and come back. He didn't go to heaven first in Matthew 28 when he said all power in heaven and earth. Are we together now? So he bought the covenant, the blood, which was the sacrifice. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that with this blood he sanctified heaven. Heaven was pure, but with this blood he now purified heaven. Signifying that anything that will come through from the realms of the earth into this heaven cannot come in outside his blood. You cannot approach God now except by his blood. You cannot come and make any claim here if you are not covered in the blood. That is why I must tell you, you are perpetually under the blood. It is not your pleading the blood that makes it effective. You plead it because of the sense of activation it gives you. But you are 24 hours under the blood. You must know that today and enter into rest. You are 24 hours under the blood. And Jesus said, no man can take away this one from me. The reason why I can say so is because you are under his covering. You are under the blood. Say, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Listen, this is the counsel of the Lord to you today. The kind of relationship that Jesus had with his Father, whether you're a businessman, or a nurse, or a doctor, or a banker, or an engineer, or a teacher, whatever, you can have that relationship with God. That kind of closeness, it has nothing to do with being a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to be this close to God, the way Jesus was with God. The door has been opened, and God beckons for you to stand up and take your inheritance. It's yours. If we do not take it, another generation will rise in the earth. And when they rise, they will fulfill this scripture. And when they fulfill, God will say, this is the generation I've been waiting for. Hallelujah. Oh my God, guide me unto the heaven. When I leave this world, I want to behold you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Guide me unto the heaven. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Guide me unto the heaven.
You are the Spirit of God. I see you touching my life. Holy Ghost, you are the Spirit of God. Touching my life. You are the Spirit of God. Comforter. Teacher, teach me all I need to know. Oh my God, oh my God, guide me on to the end. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, guide me on to the end. Oh my God, oh my God,
you are the Holy Spirit of God.
Guide me. Oh my God,
oh my God,
guide me unto the end. Oh my God, oh my God,
oh my God,
guide me unto the end. Oh my God, I cannot walk alone. Guide me unto the end.
Isn't it amazing that despite all the mistakes that Peter made,
he
turned out to be a great pastor.
Guide me.
Peter turned out to be a great pastor. God is not giving up on you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Guide
me.
I need your light to shine upon my path. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Guide me unto the end.
Listen, the Lord said I should tell you not to be afraid. He said it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Lord said if there is anything he has done in your life now, don't be afraid that there, like what after this phase, what next? God said I have yet another glorious phase. He said you are not going to be stuck in this phase. Don't think like, I'm living a blessed life now. Can there be anything better than that? God said, yes, there's more. There's more. The Lord said, behold, look, lift up your eyes and see. Lift up your eyes and see. Do not say it is 4 months to the harvest. He said, for behold, the harvest is white. There's something more. There's something more for you. There's something more for you. Oh, hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide us there. He's going to guide us there. He knows the way through the wilderness. And he's going to guide us there.
Oh, my God. Guide me.
Hallelujah.
Lord of the earth. Listen, I want you to add some. I want you to go back this week, add some deliberate flavor to your relationship with God. Let it be a God and you thing. Don't pray to him like he's far away anymore. He's not far. He's with you. He said, as many as believe in me, he said, my father and I will come and make our abode in him. That means God's address is your location. I say God's address is your location. Don't pray to him like he's far away again. He's here and he's listening. Learn how to rejoice before him. Because he is the one who says yes to you. He said, I'm the one who died and rose. He said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I hold in my hand the keys of death and Hades. When he opens a door to you, nobody can shut it. Learn how to worship him. Because worship is rising like a river on your inside. Our generation must learn worship again. There was a way Solomon prayed and fire fell. We must learn it again. There was a way Elijah prayed and fire fell. We must learn it again. There was a way Jesus prayed and he transfigured. We must learn that way again. It is the way of holiness, where only God is the most important person. When you journey to that point, God will not withhold himself from you. He will not keep himself from you. He will not keep himself from you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have a song to sing. Oh my God, Spirit of God, guide me unto the end. Oh my God, guide me unto the end. When I come before God and I say, guide me, I am not coming as a pastor. I am coming as a man who also needs to be helped. Yeah. I'm coming as a man who knows that if God stops speaking, I am blind. I am coming as a man who knows that I have 3 children. I have a wife. I have family. And if I do not walk with him, I may be exposed. I am coming as a man who has nothing else to fall back on except God. So when I say guide me, it is not a statement. It is a statement of dependency. I don't know tomorrow. But I know the one who owes tomorrow. And I know that the things that I've committed into his hands, he is able to keep it until the perfect day. That is why I ask him to guide me. Will you please guide me? Guide me. Yeah.
Oh my God. Guide me. Lele mokuria de sala.
Because scripture says that had the son had life. But today I'm persuaded. Oh, I have a guide. I have a teacher. I have a comforter. So when we do what we do, just leave us. Huh? Just leave us. Guide me to the end.
Guide me unto the end.
afraid because Jesus is here with me. The resurrection and the life. Oh my God. All to the end. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Guide me. Guide me. All to the end.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Continue to lead me.
Guide me.
Oh my God, oh my
God, oh my God, guide me unto the end.
Hallelujah. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you, when you begin to walk with God, you will get to a point. You must watch out for this level I'm talking about. It's a support level. There's something we call support level. That means the price cannot come below that. Huh? There's something called support level. What I'm trying to explain to you is that, please hear me, if you didn't hear anything, you must journey in your walk with God till you get to that place where you don't care about anything. It will affect your response in worship. Whether there's a keyboard or not, or anything, you come before God, you throw yourself there. The way David threw himself at God when the ark was being restored. Is somebody with me now? You must journey with God till you get to this particular place. Very important. That is one of the art of this message. Go and look at everybody I've talking about, including Peter. Including some of them started very poorly, but they ended well. Some were terrible almost half their life, but when they saw Jesus, they became, you know, redirected. There was nobody that came across Jesus and remained and went back to the enemy, except the one that loved this present world. So, which means we must come back and look at this present world. Because whatever is strong enough to take an apostle from his calling, we need to investigate it. We must become like David in our worship. We mustn't hold anything back. It is an insult to what you know about God when you go out there and you listen to those secular music and without anybody probing you, you dance. Some of you are even struggling to get those songs out of your head now. You have so listened to it. Instagram has seen you. They now send the song to you. Every video is the song. But they have known, they've marked you that you are their customer. So anywhere, they just give it to you. Even on the road, even now in your dream, they bring the song to you. Your heart must become tender. There is something God can do with you if your heart is tender. Not rebellious, not hard. The sin of King Saul was not necessarily that he did something he could not be forgiven. It was just the cloth of the prophet. It was that he had no heart for God. Saul had no heart for God. He had no relationship with God. He found himself on the throne by mistake and yet could not even use that opportunity to develop a relationship with God. By the time he sinned, they threw him away. David came, committed worse sins. Did more than took the wife of his right hand man. And God said, I found David my servant. God, I don't understand. It's like your passion. But it is what it is. When you go back home today, tell yourself from today, I will worship God differently. Make it a decision. Decision is as powerful as prophecy. Make a decision. This is how I want to serve God from today. It has nothing to do with any man or any woman. When I worship God, if I want to worship, I'll worship well. If I want to roll, I will roll. Whatever it is I have decided to do, I want it to be the true expression of how I feel about God. Jesus beckoned to that woman and he said, Mary. She didn't say, who is that? She recognized his voice. She was not able to recognize his face. But when she heard the voice, she knew it was the voice that always spoke to her in her prayer time. She knew it was the voice that always came to her when she was studying the word of God. She recognized that voice. You may not recognize the face, but you must recognize that voice, because that voice is not a stranger. That is what he has promised you, that you shall hear a voice behind you telling you, this is the way. Walk in it. It is when the world sees our love for Jesus that they will beckon to us. Not our miracles, our love for Jesus and for each other. Then they will say, we want to know your God. We want to be amongst you. Because the moment the rod of Moses rises, God will permit corruption to come into the rod of the magicians. They both have rods, but one has the ability to swallow up every other system that is not God. So God will wait until he sees our love for each other and how we cover each other. Sometimes we'll fight, some other times we'll play, but he will see the way we relate among ourselves. Then he will now say, it is time to set this candlestick upon the mountains so that the light can go all over the world. And Jesus said, this is how men will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. So when somebody comes to me and says, I don't love my wife anymore, tell them, love her the way Jesus loves you. Have a good day. When somebody comes tomorrow, I want to leave my husband, I don't love him. You don't love him? That's simple. Jesus said, by this shall all men know. If you cannot love him erotically and there's one church, Agape Christian Church. Go there, do 3 Sundays, collect Agape. Go and love your husband. How dare you say you don't love your wife? How dare you? You are also forgiven. You are also in the same sin, except that nobody found out. How dare you? How dare you say you don't love somebody? You, who are you? How dare you say you don't? Do you know there are some things even Satan can't say? I hate. Oh, really? He who hates has been cut off from the life of God. Anybody who walks in hatred will never make heaven, no matter the tongues you speak. Huh? No matter the tongues, you may even be an apostle, you will not make heaven. Because God commended his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. The issue of love is not optional if you're a child of God. Because this kingdom is built on one of the major pillars of love. You cannot walk with the Holy Spirit if you don't love him. You need revelation to know who he is. You cannot follow Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus if you don't love him. Because when trials come, you will turn your back. Lord, we ask that today you will fill us with your love in a new and beautiful way, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, this will become the beginning of resetting the foundations on the counsels of the Lord. That every one of us will begin to take our position in the place where you have chosen for us. We will not be anywhere you have not chosen. We will not go in any direction you have not apportioned. We will not go into relationships you have not approved. That, Lord, you will grant us mercy and eternal life. You will grant us mercy to become established in these things, in the name of Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, even as a church, you will cause us to rise in the spirit of love, spirit of righteousness. You will cause us to rise, to walk in the spirit of love. That love will become our default mode. Even against those that hate us, you will give us the grace to love. You will help us in our weakness, in the name of Jesus. I want you to raise your hand and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to walk in love in every situation. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to walk in love in every situation, to be guided in your utterance,
to be guided in everything that you do, in the thoughts of your heart. I want you to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live a holy life in your strength. You cannot walk with God in your own strength. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Please, can you pray that prayer for 1 minute? Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask for your help this morning. Lead us. Guide us. Lead us. Lead us. Guide us. Guide us.
Love, love, love. His love has captured me, oh Lord. Love, love, Messiah's love. Oh, love, 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 oh
Lord. Love, love,
His love, oh.
His love,
His love has captured me, oh Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Love, love, Messiah's love.
Hallelujah. You know, a few weeks ago I was driving. Please sit down. Let's pass the offering basket. A few weeks ago I was driving and the Lord began to give me very specific instructions because I think he must have observed that I was worried about a few things. Very personal decisions. And I was asking, God, why can't I also do this? Or why can't I also be like this? And you are restraining me. There's no law that says I cannot be like this. And the Lord was saying no. You know? So then the Lord began to speak to me about what he would have me do for this season. So when I was sitting in front of the doctor, and the doctor was telling me all that, you know, the doctor even went as far as telling me that we need to check for autoimmune disease. I was laughing. You know why I was laughing? An example of autoimmune disease is lupus. Huh? Lupus is when your body is fighting you. It's a very dangerous place to be. So when she said that, I was laughing. I was not laughing out of pride. I was laughing because I knew something. That the power at work in me cures lupus. The last person I knew who had lupus that we prayed for, it was on Zoom and she got healed. By the way, in the UK. A young girl. After going to several hospitals. When she was saying that, number one, I knew her diagnosis was wrong. Number two, I knew what the Lord said to me last month. So, you are wrong. In fact, I felt like asking her if she needed healing from lupus or... Because the moment she said it, the anointing in me rose. And I heard lies, 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 lies. The voice of the Lord said, lies. The doctor was wrong. The doctor was wrong. Lies. He's lying. Lies. I started laughing. In her mind, she was talking. In her mind, though, she was making sense. She wanted me to understand that she's a doctor. But God said lies. Every verdict that has been proffered over your head, the Lord says lies. The Lord says rejected. Every proclamation that it is too late for you. The Lord says it's a lie. The Lord says it's a lie. The Lord says it's a lie. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Believe the word of God and be saved. If you want the word of God to work for you, you must not hold on to any other thing. Believe his word. Believe. Turn from unrighteousness. To turn from unrighteousness does not always mean sin. It means turning from every posture that is not aligned with God's word. Believe me, 5 years from now, you will look back. You will realize that everything Satan said, it didn't happen. It failed. He fails. He's a failure. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. In the realm of the spirit, he's known as the father of lies. There's nothing he says that you should believe. The only reason he has power over you is because you have given him attention. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. And the Lord bless your heart with these words. So that when you go, you will not forget. You will remember that the one who loves you is the one that hung on the cross. The one who looked at you and said, I have no charge against you. The one who looked at you even with sin in your hands and said, restore.
The one who gave you a second chance. That is the person whose face you must behold. Don't let Satan put any burden of guilt upon you. Because right now, a lot of people are walking about with guilt. And they are interpreting their guilt. If you may be living in a particular sin, doesn't mean everybody is living in that sin. But come out today and be saved. Come out today. Jesus loves you. Come out today. That is still the gospel of our New Testament. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you are there, and maybe you think you are in a very bad shape, look at me very well. Jesus restores you. If you are there and you are struggling with your faith as a Christian, look, if you can see him on the cross, then you are forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's rise on our feet.